In a way, I'm going to continue on in the same vein of things that we had talked about the last couple of sermons that I was here. And that's having a close two-way relationship, with Christ and our Father. Because that is critical to our lives. As first fruits, we cannot begin to grow to our potential without that relationship. A few weeks ago, maybe eight by now, we looked at how the holy days show us some of the priceless gifts that God gives to us as individuals and to as the human race. They're priceless gifts that help us to truly understand and to become like Christ and our Father. They're gifts that inspire us to want to be like them, and they're gifts that show us the love that Christ and the Father have for us, that show us how they reach out to us to establish a relationship. And when we think about God reaching out to us, the question that comes to mind is, how should we personally respond? How do we build our part of the relationship? We could talk about repentance, both our initial repentance and our ongoing daily repentance. There's also prayer and Bible study, fasting, meditating, and then practicing the things that we learn in our daily lives. All those things and more, are part of our building our relationship with Christ and the Father. The relationship that they want to have with us. And actually, all those things are interrelated. So where do we want to start? Well, we talked about prayer and the announcements, and that's where I want to start today. There's so much, but I want to look at just three basic things about prayer that can help us to, build that closer relationship with God. And the points are found, as you might suspect, in Matthew 6, in the prayer outline that Christ gave his early disciples when they wanted to know how to pray. Get rid of this. So that's where we will. I put a marker in my Bible for that page. A gift from Mr. Ellis. We'll start there. And the first thing we need to consider when we, consider prayer is, who are we praying to? And that encompasses, as Mr. Stewart showed us in his sermonette, far more than just the sound of a name. And that's also where Christ, started his prayer outline, Matthew 6 and verse 9. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray you, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed is your name." Holy is your name. Our Father, that's who we pray to. It's the same Father we desire a closer relationship with. And hallowed be your name. That name, God's name, is holy. It's set apart, higher and greater than any other name. Perfect. It's a description of who our Father is. We understand that God is our Creator. I'm going to hear a lot of familiar things again. And Genesis 1:1 is the first place that we see that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I think we all have that memorized. He created everything that we can see and everything that we cannot see, including the spirit world. He is almighty. And that means that all power and energy come from Him, come from God. He created all the stars, and He knows their names, each and every one. He created what we call subatomic particles, and He gave them each a purpose, most of which, mankind only can guess at. And when we begin to understand how awesome our God is, it's easy to feel like David did when he wrote Psalm number 8. Let's look at a verse there. Psalm 8, a couple of verses, just to remind us, if I can find it. Psalm 8, in verses 3 and 4. And David said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you should be mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" When we do consider, as Mr. Stewart told us we should, especially on the Sabbath, the works of God, it's very humbling. Can even be scary. And yet humility is a very important part of our relationship with God. That's why, we are taught to kneel when we pray privately. It helps us to remember this very basic part of our relationship with God. We're so small, we're so imperfect, and yet God is mindful of us. And that's why, the first step in that relationship is to humbly understand how much greater God is than we are. And that's why, Christ tells us to start here in our prayers. And we could, obviously, talk forever about God's power, His greatness, His glory, and we would feel smaller and smaller, more and more humble, maybe. And yet, remember, as small as we are, it's God who first reaches out, with His love and offers us a relationship. We don't take the first step. As small as we are, great as He is, He comes to us. Look at Isaiah 55. That's not too far from where we're at. Isaiah 55. Some more on how much greater God is than us. Isaiah 55 and verses 8 and 9. And God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, says the Eternal. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." If the way that God thinks and lives is so much higher and so much different from ours, how can we hope to have a relationship with Him, let alone a close, loving relationship? What was the first thing we read in the prayer outline? Our Father. Now, Genesis 1, verses 26 to 31, tells us that God created mankind on the sixth day of recreation. He is the Creator and the Father of all mankind. And that's an important part of our relationship with Him. We also know that God did not stop creating man at the physical level. Let's go to the New Testament and look at what John said about God's creation and chapter and creating of man. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world does not know us, because it does not know him. When God calls us and we repent, he begins creating in us, or creating us spiritually, creating us to be his literal spirit-born children. The world does not understand that. They cannot, because they do not yet know God. He's not yet called them to a relationship, and he has not opened their minds to understand. But they're still his children. And he wants us to learn to love them, even though they may not love us. Remember, he is our Father, not my Father. When we think about this as we pray, it helps us to better understand our Father and the plan that he is working out, you know, for all mankind, for everybody. And that understanding is part of our relationship. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those are two important verses that, you know, we should probably mark in your Bible. God is creating us as children, and we really don't understand all that that means. But when Christ returns and we are resurrected, we will be spirit like Christ, and we will then understand. Today, we only understand that as awesome as God is, he is our Father who cares for us and wants us to talk with him. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. And we'll look at some more basic, familiar scriptures. And we'll look at a lot of them. Put them all together. Hopefully have a deeper appreciation for what God is doing with us. Where do I want to start? Okay, in Luke 11 is the second place where Christ gave the prayer outline. And when he gave it here, he followed it with a parable to, you know, telling us to not hesitate to approach God in prayer and to be persistent in the thing, you know, in our prayers. And then when you come down to verse 9, he tells us something that we need to do to respond to his invitation to have a relationship with us. Chapter 11, verse 9 says, "And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." We need to ask to get to know God better. We need to seek to learn about him and his way of thinking, his way of living. We need to knock or request to have a better relationship with Christ and our Father, to have them, you know, come through the door and into our lives. And when we do those things, he promises to respond to us. In the next three verses, the next three verses show us, you know, that God will give us abundantly of his Holy Spirit, that he wants to, and that is something which we absolutely have to have to have a true relationship with him. Let's just quickly read through those. Luke 11, starting in verse 11, it says, If If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he instead give him a piece of a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? It says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? You know, that's why, even though God is so high above all that we are, we do not have to fear coming before his throne. And we do that when we pray. To ask and, you know, to ask for and seek a closer relationship with him and Christ. Our Father is willing and eager to give us all the help that we can use to understand him and Christ better, more completely, so that we can have a closer relationship with them. And our job is to pray humbly and ask. Let's go back to Matthew 6 and look at a second way that prayer helps us to draw closer to God. Matthew 6, verse 10, which says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." So how does talking to God about these things help us draw closer to him? Well, a big part of any relationship is getting to know and to understand and to appreciate what the other person desires and enjoys. You know, a deep relationship comes when we come to identify with the other person's goals and make them a part of our life. When we start to pattern our goals and our life after theirs. So let's start with a big picture and then focus it down to each of us personally on a daily level. It says, "Thy will be done." What is God's goal? What is his will that he wants done on this earth? Well, we touched on it earlier when we talked about God being our Father. In Genesis 1:26, I think I will just read that. Shouldn't be that hard to find that one. Genesis 1:26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." You know, that's where everything that God does is focused. Can we really grasp just how amazing that really is? You know, Christ's building of the church, the preaching of the gospel, Christ's return to this earth to stop mankind from destroying himself, his imprisoning Satan and the demons, his setting up of God's kingdom to rule this earth. They're all part of God's main goal. You know, they're all part of it. They're all part of the goal that our Father wants us to deeply understand, to appreciate, and to desire to be a part of. And when we talk to him about, you know, this part of his plan, we begin to understand a little more, you know, and then we want to be like him. We want to draw closer to our Father and to Christ. You know, we want to help comfort all those that we see hurting, like the people we talked about in the announcements. God wants us to make it personal. talking to him about what we know about his coming kingdom and about all the pain and the suffering that we see, which we know will be replaced by healing and comforting when Christ returns, helps us to do that. It helps us to draw closer to our Father and build a stronger relationship. You know, we can also make it personal by talking to him about the work that he's given the church to do, which we did, you know, in the announcements. We know that in Mark 16 and in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, you know, God tells us that he wants us to be a part of preaching the gospel to all the world. And when we thank him for the blessings that we see him give to the church to help us to share with others the good news of his coming kingdom, you know, we see his involvement. We see his hand working, you know, working things out to accomplish his goal. And that makes us, when we pray for those things, feel more a part of what our Father is doing. It makes him more real, makes him closer to us. It builds our relationship with him. There's another way that he wants us to make his will personal. It's not easy, but it ties God's coming kingdom and his will to each one of our daily lives. If you're in Matthew chapter 6, let's look at a very familiar verse, verse number 33, Matthew 6 and verse 33. It says, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." How does that relate to our prayers? Well, let's look at something that Peter said in the second book of Peter that'll help clarify that a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. Wait a minute. Let's go to the right book. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. It says, "The Eternal is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You know, God's will is that every human being should eventually come to repentance and seek his righteousness. And there have probably been more sermons preached on repentance than there are words in the Bible. So I just want to look at some very basic things and how they relate to prayer. Now let's start with a very simple definition of repentance. Repentance is sincere, willing, personal change. It starts when God opens our minds to understand how bad or selfish our human nature is. And that makes us sincerely feel bad enough to want to be forgiven. And it makes us want to be given God's help so that we can turn our lives around and start to live God's way of life, to seek his righteousness. You know, and that way of life is revealed and explained in God's word. Both the written word And the example, the living word that Christ gave us when he was living as a human being. You know, and I'm not referring, you know, just to his sacrifice, but to everything he did. The example that he gave us of how to live by God's word. And I want to look at just one of at least three places in the book of John where we are told to follow Christ's example. The one I want to look at is the one referring to the foot washing. In principle, you know, it applies to everything that we do. And that's in John 13. John 13 and verse 15. Where Christ says, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. And that's pretty clear. He wants us to follow his example, to live each day seeking God's righteousness. Okay, but what does that mean? Well, partly, when we're looking at it from our prayers, it means, you know, talking to God about things we see in his word and asking him to help us understand how they apply to us personally. How we can change to put his will ahead of our own personal desires. And when we pray like that, brethren, something happens. And that is partially explained in John 14 and verse 21, where Christ said, he that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's the important part. When we try to follow Christ's example to seek God's righteousness, we start to love God and all he is and all that he's doing. And when that happens, Christ will make himself better known to us and our relationship with God becomes stronger. While we're here in John 14, let's look at another verse that tells us something else about praying for God's kingdom and his will. John 14 and verse 2. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, God has a plan for each and every one of us individually. And Christ is working on that with us every single day. When we try to follow his example, you know, that comes into it also. And when we talk to God about his kingdom, his will being done, we need to talk to him about our place in his kingdom, about, you know, what he wants from us, what he sees for us in our future. You know, because he is preparing a place specifically for each one of us. You know, Christ tells us, okay, I'll find my place here. Okay, we've seen that it is the Father's will that we grow spiritually and be born into his kingdom. And Christ and the Father love us more than we can begin to understand. We can understand, however, that they want the very best for each and every one of us. And that's part of the plan that they're working out for each one of us. So one of the things we want to talk to God about is what can we do to develop the strengths and the talents that he knows we have, you know, that can best serve others now and then when the kingdom comes. We need to daily ask what his will is for us personally as his child. Not just after we're resurrected, but what is his will for us today and in the things that the day holds for us. And when we talk to God about those kind of things, you know, truly looking for his will, not our own, we will see him helping and manifesting himself to us. We will see his presence in our lives, and that will help us to draw closer to him. Let's go back to Matthew 6 and look at a third thing. Matthew 6 and verse 11, which simply says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Sounds simple enough. And actually, there's more here than we can hope to cover in a week's worth of sermons. So I just want to look at three aspects that we can use, you know, in our prayers to build that better relationship with Christ. And the first is spiritual, which is always the best place to start, right? Most people in the world who read this think only of the physical things they need. But as first fruits, we know that there is much more. Something far more important than just our physical daily bread. In the sixth chapter of John, Christ is talking to a bunch of people who want him to do a miracle, to give them more free bread, to prove that he's a prophet, just like Moses did for their ancestors. In verse 32, Christ responds to them in this way. Verse 32, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." And then, if you drop down to verse 48, Christ makes it emphatic what he's talking about. He says, "I am the bread of life." And that's the most important daily bread that we need to be asking for in our prayers. But what does that mean? If Christ is the true bread that gives us life, what does it mean for us to pray for our daily bread? Well, we've already seen that God's will is that we follow Christ's example. In Philippians 2 and verse 5, Paul tells us that we are to let Christ's mind be in us, right? Another familiar scripture. And when we pray for our daily spiritual bread, one of the things that we're asking for is for help to bring into our mind those parts of God's word that will apply to us and help us to think and to act the way Christ would in whatever circumstances that, you know, that we find in our lives today. Another thing, maybe, you know, that we can be praying for is just help to make time for us to study God's word so that we can put it into our mind. Or perhaps we want guidance from God's Holy Spirit so that we can understand and see how something we read in God's Word really does apply specifically to us. You know, each of those kinds of prayers makes God's Word and Christ's example more real to us, and it helps us to grow closer to our God. All right, so what about the physical aspects of our daily bread? Obviously, we all have daily physical needs. So what does talking to God about those needs help us? How does it help us have a better relationship with Him? Let's start with the us and our part of that request. Remember, God is the Father of all people, and He wants all people to eventually repent and turn to Him. You know, we could talk again all day about the needs and the benefits of praying for other people. But today I want to just emphasize one point. And I think maybe we felt that when we were going through the announcements. When we sincerely pray for the needs of others, we are actually growing in God's nature, sharing His concern and His compassion for others. And that helps us to be more like Him. It strengthens our relationship with Him. And we grow in a way so that Christ can truly say of us, "By this shall all men know that you're mine, that you love one another." All right, now let's focus on our personal daily bread, our personal physical needs. How can praying for the things, physical things, that we personally need help us to have a better relationship with our Heavenly Father? We started out by looking at how great and powerful our Heavenly Father is. He, through Christ, made everything and keeps everything working. He knows everything. He loves us. And He tells us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread, our daily needs." I want to look at some other verses that deal with that. And the first one is Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. Matthew 6, starting in 25. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought," or "do not worry to see." I'm going to read the New King James over here. "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add, you know, a cubit?" Is that what it says? A span. No, a cubit to his stature. And I think that means height, not girth, by the way. So why do we worry? Christ continues on. "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the unbelievers seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. And then we come back to verse 33, which we read earlier. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, we read the first half of that verse earlier when we were looking at God's will. But the last half of that verse says that it is God's will to give us all the physical things that we need. And obviously, from what we've read, God doesn't want us worrying about all these physical needs. And actually, brethren, the Greek word that's translated worry there implies anxious to the point of distraction. In other words, God doesn't want us to worry about our physical needs to the point that we lose focus on the more important spiritual needs. But that does not mean that we do not pray for our physical needs. I have a note here that says, read Matthew 6 and verse 7. Okay. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, or as the unbelievers, for they think that they shall be heard with their much speaking, with their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you need before you even ask. He does not want us to worry so much about our physical needs that we keep asking over and over and over to the point that we're not praying about the important things, like building a closer relationship with him. But notice that he does expect us to ask. In fact, in James chapter 1, verse 1, and James 4, verses 1 to 3, where James is correcting the 12, you know, the scattered members of the 12 tribes, because of all the fighting and wars that they're engaged in, he tells them that they do not have the things that they want because they're not asking God. They're not asking him to give them what they need. All right, so what have we seen in this last few verses? We're not to worry or to feel that we have to ask God for what we need over and over, because God knows what we need before we even ask him, and he will give us everything that we do need. In truth, you know, our God gives us more than just our basic needs. So why are we told to even ask? How does that help us have a closer relationship with God? Well, I want to look at two reasons briefly. The first, you know, asking while we know that our Father knows what we need and has the power and the desire to give us everything we need shows our recognition of the relationship that we, as his first fruits, as his children, you know, children of our Heavenly Father, it shows that we understand that relationship. It shows that we don't take that relationship for granted, but that we believe that he truly does love us and that he will take care of us. Secondly, which kind of comes from that, is that praying for our daily needs is an important tool in developing our trust in our Father, to developing the faith that helps us, you know, to get through each day. And that is a very big part of our relationship with God. When my wife and I were first married and just beginning to attend church, life was very difficult for us. You know, I prayed daily for a better job because literally we did not have the money to buy the groceries that we needed to feed ourselves and our daughter. And God made me wait for a better job, but he gave us the food that we needed frequently in unexpected and yet very obvious ways. For example, one fall day when we were driving into Murphy Junior High School in Detroit for church services, had 50 cents to our name, 50 cents in my pocket, and literally no food at home. And on the way, we passed a roadside stand that was selling, you know, fresh vegetables. Well, we deliberately stayed late at church so that we could get back to that fruit stand just at sundown. And we prayed that we could get one or two squash for our 50 cents. And when I asked the lady at the stand, you know, how much squash can I get for 50 cents? Or I said, how much? I didn't even ask her that. I just said, how much are you charging for the squash? And she just looked at me and said, give me 50 cents and you can take the whole bushel. You know, I thanked her and then we thanked God, not realizing that that bushel basket of squash, which should have been gone, emptied, totally eaten, by the end of January, lasted us until spring. You know, I think it was early in spring when I realized I went in to get another squash and realized there's still three or four more in there. How can that be? You know, a similar thing happened that winter with a box of powdered milk and a bottle of salad oil. No matter how much we used, they just seemed to stay half full all winter long. You know, God gave us the food that we needed and asked for time after time after time. And we grew to trust him more and more. You know, we know that God will provide for us, that he will, you know, take care of us, because we've seen him answer our prayers and the prayers of many others as well. You know, and I suspect that most of us in this room, you know, could recount similar events. And brethren, we should. We need to share those things. Praying for all the things that we need daily and then seeing God supply them, often in very surprising and unexpected ways, you know, draws us closer to God. It helps us to trust him more. And that's an important part of any relationship, trusting. Okay, so we've looked at a few ways that our daily prayers can help us to draw closer to God. You know, closer in that personal relationship that he wants to have with us. We've seen, despite the fact that we are praying to the most awesome, powerful, and holy being that exists, we can still boldly, though humbly and respectfully, seek him and talk to him because he literally is our loving Father. we've seen also that it's His will, His great desire, that we and all people will come to repentance and come to know and to follow Christ's example, striving to be like them. We've seen that He wants us to identify with the work that He is doing and to grow in love and compassion for others, to see, what His will is for us individually. And that even though He knows everything that we need in our lives, both spiritually and physically, He wants us to ask boldly for others and for ourselves, because that helps us, to see Him working in our lives. It helps us to trust Him, to trust that He will continue to give us everything that we need. Brethren, identifying with who our God is, identifying with His desires for mankind and for each one of us personally, and then seeing His patient, loving involvement in our lives, those are fruits, of these three aspects of prayer. Things that, God wants us to think about every day. They're blessings that truly do help us develop a closer relationship with our almighty, loving Father and our older brother, Jesus Christ.